one of the summaries of Saint Monica in the lives of the saints uses this phrase. She prayed for a long time for the conversion of her ill-tempered husband and her undisciplined son. Can anyone identify with that? If you can, I have a message for you today. And the fathers and the husbands and the sons might want to listen too. Saint Monica, the mother of Saint Augustine, through her tears, through her sorrow, through her prayers, through her own holiness, she was the vessel for Christ to convert her husband and her son, both of whom were very far from any kind of life of devotion or faith in God. It's a story that is repeated over and over again, except that most of the people in that story aren't at the stage yet where Monica eventually arrived. It's the story of this gospel passage. In fact, Saint Augustine, writing his famous work, The Confessions, used this gospel passage today to refer to his own situation. He writes in The Confessions, "She bore me in the arms of her prayer, that you, Lord, might say to the son of the widow, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.'" Here was this widow weeping because her son was dead. Now, in the story, in the event there that happened in Nain, the boy was physically dead. Obviously, the lesson here is that someone who has no faith, someone who has no relationship with the Lord, is spiritually dead. And brothers and sisters, the first thing we have to realize is that death is just as real as physical death. Spiritual realities are realities. They're not metaphors. Spiritual life is just as real as physical life. Spiritual death is just as real as physical death. It's not metaphorical. Just because you can't touch it and weigh it and feel it, it's real. So Saint Augustine was dead, and Jesus brought him to life and gave him back to his mother. Now, in the opening prayer of today's Mass, did you catch the words of that prayer? Because they have to make us think about this. First of all, it addressed God as the one who comforts those in sorrow. It reminds us, does it not, of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. Why are those who mourn blessed? Because, brothers and sisters, if we can't mourn about the evils around us and in the world, but first of all about the evils within us, if we can't mourn about those evils, we're not really connecting with reality. The evils must make us mourn because we love the good. If we love God, we are hurt by what offends Him. Not just that it offends Him, but anybody who loves Him then has to feel the burden of that. Do we feel the burden? Do we feel the burden if someone in our family is away from the faith? I know that many of you do feel that burden. Blessed are you if you feel that burden. You have to start here by realizing the tears of Saint Monica were evidence of her holiness. The tears. And the tears we weep, not only for a family member, a son or a daughter, grandchild, or other relative or friend or anybody who's away from the faith. Not only for that, but for all the evils in the world, for all the sins of the world. When's the last time that we shed some tears over all of this? We have to make sure that we're not emotionally disconnected from the things we say we believe. We can't be emotionally disconnected from that. Let us weep, and let us realize how blessed we are when we weep. But then the prayer went on to say that by her tears, you moved, her tears moved you to convert Saint Augustine. Can we move God? Can we move God? Apparently that's what the church is saying. we can move God. Now, we can move God only because He decides to let us move Him. But that's what He's decided. And some people might say, well, how does this work? Brothers and sisters, if you have a child and you fail to feed that child, will the child not starve? You don't feed the baby. The baby doesn't live, it doesn't grow. The baby ends up malnourished and maybe even dead. Does God want that child to live? Of course He does. But He has entrusted the life of that child to you, His parents. If that's true physically, is it not true spiritually? You don't feed that child with faith. God wants that child to have spiritual life in all abundance, but don't feed the child and the child dies. God has literally entrusted us to the care of one another. Everything and everyone is under His care, but He really has put the fate of each one of us in the hands of one another. We're not just individuals all relating to God. He's entrusted us into the hands of each other. And therefore, not only by the things we say to each other or that we give and receive or help each other in various physical ways throughout the day, but also in terms of the mystical communion that we all share in the life of prayer, our prayers really make an impact on other people. Really and truly. So truly that the liturgy of the church today says that Monica's tears and prayers actually moved God to convert her son. Sometimes you just need a little nudge. Sometimes you need a bulldozer. Be careful when you say your prayers, because after you say them, you might hear in the distance a rumbling sound, turn around, and see a bulldozer coming straight at you being driven by a dove with a hard hat on. But the Holy Spirit, you know, we think of Him as a spirit of, you know, gentleness, and He is. He orders the whole universe in sweetness and gentleness, but let me tell you, He's got a bulldozer too. And that's what sometimes has to happen. Okay. Saint Monica prayed and wept for the conversion of her family. Brothers and sisters, she was a saint herself. And this tells us part one of what we need to do when we're in the same situation. You have a child who's distant from the faith, or anybody that you know, that you want to see them come back. You know what the first thing is after you connect with that and you mourn and you weep? Brothers and sisters, be a saint yourself. Someone once said, he who would change the world, or any part of it, must first change the very fabric of his own thought, of his own mind. We must be converted. You want to make other people saints? Be a saint yourself. And the power here, the lesson of today's feast, isn't it the power of the family unit? Here's a wife and a mother working and praying for the conversion of the husband and the son. Well, first of all, it happens in other directions too, doesn't it? Sometimes it's the husband that converts the wife. Sometimes it's the children that convert the parents. In this case, it was the other way around. But the grace goes in all directions, doesn't it? And the beauty of the family unit. That's why the breakdown of family units is so disastrous for society and the church. It's the fundamental building block of society and the church. It's the domestic church, the family. But we have to become saints ourselves. And some people might say, well, St. Monica was successful in winning the conversion of her husband and son precisely because she was a saint. And then in the back of our minds, we make excuses and reasons why we're not called to the same thing. But we are. What makes you think that God doesn't have as much grace in store for you to become holy as He did for St. Monica? Did He tell you that? Did He tell you that He didn't want you to become a saint? Or did He tell you that He does want you to become a saint? I'm telling you He wants you to become a saint because He wants everybody to. Not necessarily that we're going to be canonized someday, but the ones that were canonized are just examples for what the rest of us are called to be. There's no such thing as the call to be an ordinary Christian. Too many people want to be ordinary Christians. They don't really want to suffer. They don't really want to be crucified. They don't really want to rock the boat. They don't really want to change. They just want to be ordinary Christians. There's no such thing. Either you're a saint or you're an unfaithful Christian. Now, we're all unfaithful every day, but what do? We go back. We repent. We come again. We confess. We start anew. Good. That's the process of becoming a saint. That's the point. We're aiming not for mediocrity, not for normalcy. We are aiming for the heights because that's the only place where God calls us to be. Okay. Then, Saint Monica, in this powerful journey of bringing the grace of God into her family, teaches us a number of other lessons about parenting. How many times do you and I see and hear of situations where mom or dad or both of them take or send their children off to Mass, to religious instruction? Why? Because I want my child to have the benefits of the faith and of the church. I want my son to make his Holy Communion. I want my daughter to be confirmed. Good. But then they send them, expecting somebody else to do the work. And that's what keeps us priests busy, right? And the religious educators, all these children come. Where are the parents? Oh, but I sent them. I sent them to you. I sent them. I dropped them off to Mass. You dropped them off. You dropped them off. You dropped them off, and you expect them to absorb the faith? You drop them off. What are they learning? What are you teaching them? What you're teaching them is this. As a child, I have to go to Mass, and when I become a daddy, I can drop my children off, and I don't have to go. That's exactly what you just taught them, by dropping them off for Mass, by sending them to religious instruction. You're teaching them without saying so, but your example is more powerful than your words. You're saying, this is something you do as a child. That's what you're teaching. You do this as a child. Later on, you can be like me and ignore the whole thing. Nobody mocks God. And nobody mocks human nature either. You do that, and your child is not going to be close to the faith, to the church. It has got to come from you. If you are a parent, if you really want to pass along the faith to your child, you've got to be living it yourself. Monica, furthermore, is the patroness of mothers. The patroness of all mothers. Motherhood is a vocation that so often in our day and age is, it's honored. We have Mother's Day. We have a patroness of mothers. We have, a certain appreciation that we wouldn't be here if we didn't have a mother. But I mentioned the other day the mothers I know of very large families. And it doesn't even have to be 10 or 15 children. There are people who are blessed with such large families. But, nowadays, mom takes her four children to the supermarket. And, people are... Are you bringing some kind of camp or club or something? People look at it. What is this? What is this? This is the life of the world. That's what it is. This is the outpouring of the greatness of God and the generosity of love. And this is the meaning of love and of life. Now, don't be intimidated. Those of you who get these looks and these stares, about how many children you have. Rejoice and be glad. You are giving witness in a way that nobody else can. But even if one is the mother of just one child, to honor that calling, all of us are called to honor that calling. All of us are called to lift it up. And never apologize for that. Some people say, what do you do? What is your work? Never say, I'm just the mother. It's the greatest work on earth. Greatest work on earth. Fathers, likewise, collaborating with God in the passing on of life, physical, spiritual. And again, for those who are mourning over the fact that someone in their family is distant from the faith, let us offer that up in this Mass. Let us pray for those people who are far away. Let us pray for those who suffer as a result. Let us pray that by our words, by our prayers, by our example, and by our own holiness, they may return soon. Let us ask St. Monica and St. Augustine to intercede for them and for us. Amen.